conquering worry. Not a person in the house today that doesn't struggle with worry. The 23rd Psalm, verses 1 through 3, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me by the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. These are familiar verses. Unfortunately, we hear them a lot at funerals, but they also apply to everyday life. I spoke a few weeks ago on resting in God's peace, and this message takes that just one step further. I want to give credit to Mr. John Olsteen, an evangelist in Houston, Texas, for this message, for a lot of the thoughts that he had. God never intended for us to worry, and definitely not for us to worry ourselves to death. It has been proven that worry causes stress. Stress creates anxiety, which is a precursor to a multitude of medical issues. Ask your doctor. Worry causes you not to sleep at night. Your food won't digest properly. It causes your mood to change. It can cause ulcers. But it's because your mind is never at rest. It is constantly trying to figure everything out. People worried about their health, upset over their job, stressed out over traffic. Your mind needs a break. It wasn't meant to go all the time. Scripture says, cast your cares unto the Lord. You have to learn to turn it over to God. You weren't designed to carry that heavy load all the time. It will frustrate you. Here's the key. When you rest, God goes to work. But when you work, God rests. If you try to be God, God will step back. He'll let you try and figure out, let you handle it, and he'll take a break. But when you come back to a place of peace and say, I trust you, Lord, my life is in your hands. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to live stressed out. I know that you have all this figured out, so I'm going to be still and know that you are God. That's when God goes to work. In the scriptures, David faced all kinds of opposition. People came against him. Enemies were trying to take his life. He could have lived worried, stressed out, but he understood this principle. And he said, Lord, the Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me by the still waters. One version says, by the restful waters. What he is saying is the way that I keep my sanity, the way I protect my peace, is on a regular basis. I go down to the still waters and I empty out all my worries, all my fear, all my anxiety. He lets his mind rest. I'm not talking about a physical place, but a place in your spirit. It can be chaotic all around you, traffic, people, problems, drama coming from you at you from all sides, but you're at rest. You're at peace from worry. Worry is like a thief. It will rob you of your sleep at night. It will rob you of your joy, rob you of your creativity. You don't make good decisions when you are worried. It keeps you from your destiny. It keeps you from God, what God wants you to be. The Bible says we can't add one inch to our life by worrying. If we could, some of us in here would be 23 feet tall. What are you worried about? What is keeping you awake at night? What's stealing your joy? It's time to come back to the still waters. When you get quiet, when you're at peace, it will help you to have the right perspective Because when we worry, we're making our problems, in a way, our God. What you see as the biggest thing in your life, in one sense, that's your God. When you worry about your health day and night, you can't sleep, that's all you think about, that's all that's ever on your mind, that's making the problem your God. You're putting that first. Do yourself a favor. Take the worry off the throne. Take financial difficulty off the throne and put God back on the throne and know God is still in control. Every time you're tempted to worry, turn it around and thank Him that He's taking care of your situation. Let the worry be a reminder to switch over into praise. Switch over into the things that are of good report. You have to guard your mind. That's where the battle is taking place. Good thoughts, they don't automatically come into your mind. Most of the time, especially in difficult situations, first thoughts are usually negative. Things like, oh man, that pain in your side, that's dangerous. That's the same thing your grandmother died of. You'll never get married, you've been single so long. Or you'll never get past this bad break, all the odds are against you. It's an easy thing to do, is to worry. But don't dwell on it. What if I don't get well? What if the report isn't good? What if I can't make those payments? Don't fall into that trap. Your life is going to follow your thoughts. Don't live your life worried, anxious, or uptight. You're inviting discouragement, bad breaks, and negativity. You have to turn the worry into worship. Thank God that He is fighting those battles. Thank Him that no weapon formed against you will ever prosper. Looking back over my life, most of the things that I worried about never came to pass. I wasted a lot of time and energy being uptight, worried, sweating bullets. It is easy to wake up in the middle of the night and find something to worry about. Ask me, I know. A lot of people these days are professional worriers. They're worrying multitaskers. They worry taking a shower. They worry brushing their teeth. They're worried driving to work, worried about work. Worried going home. They worry constantly. A while back I was asked, what would I do differently in my life? And I said, among other things, I would trust God more and myself a little less. That's good. Amen. I wouldn't lose sleep worrying over the budgets, worried whether people like me, worried about my sermons, worried about what I was doing was pleasing anybody but myself. Worry does not move us one inch forward. I wonder how many things you've worried about in your life that never came to pass. Joel Osteen tells a story about receiving a letter from the city indicating that they were going to install speed bumps on his street to slow traffic down. They had two small children, so they were all for it. They signed the petition to help make it happen. A couple other streets in the subdivision already had speed bumps, and he noticed that the city would put up a sign to notify drivers. It was a big yellow sign, permanent sign, like a stop sign. So one day while he was running, he noticed that the big yellow signs were always at the second house from the corner, and it just so happened he lived in the second house from the corner. Now, because of that big yellow sign being in front of his house, he was no longer in favor of those speed bumps. He did not want that big ugly sign in front of his house, so Joel went to other houses in the subdivision where those signs were, and he measured the distance to the corner, got the exact length. Sure enough, that sign was going to be right at the end of his driveway in front of his house. For months, he worried about that sign. He thought about it, and he thought about it. And he came up with an idea. I'll get a big bush and plant it just a few feet from where that sign's supposed to be. At least that will block my point of view. He went out and got a 6 or 7 foot bushy tree and planted it near the corner by the driveway. It looked like a random bush in the middle of nowhere. The neighbors had to wonder, what is up with those people? But he knew that it would take care of his problem. Month after month passed, the bush grew bigger and bigger. Then 2 years later, the city finally came up with the speed bumps on his street. But instead of installing the sign in front of his house like the others, they put it 4 houses down on the opposite side of the road. He spent 2 years worrying about a problem he never had. Since then, every time he drives up on that street, he says, "There's my worry tree." Are you trying to solve a problem that may never happen? But what if I do get laid off next year? What if you don't? You spend a whole year worrying about it. What if I never get married? What if you do? How much time are you going to spend fretting over it? What if the pain in my side is something serious? Then get it checked out. Don't worry about it for 3 years before you go to the doctor. Jesus put it this way. Don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will have enough worries of its own. God has given you grace for today. He hasn't given you grace for tomorrow yet. Don't try to figure out the next 5 years and play out all the what ifs. The what ifs will depress you. The truth is, if the what ifs do come to pass, God will give you the grace to understand it and to overcome it. What if the report is bad? What if my loved one doesn't make it? What if I get laid off? If so, then the peace that passes all understanding will be there waiting for you. God promises he will arm you with the strength for every battle. We may not know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. Don't miss today over worrying about tomorrow. Today is a gift. We could never get this day back. I believe, and if you're like me, many of the things that you worried about are not going to happen, and if they do, they're probably not as difficult or as serious as you thought they were going to be. Sure, you want to plan, you want to use common sense, but at some point you have to turn it over to God and say, "God, you know me best. You said you would give me grace for every season. Just like you clothed the lily of the field, just like you fed the birds of the air, I know you will take care of me." It is very freeing when you turn things over to God. Sometimes that's not easy to do. You are not supposed to go through life weighed down by worry, stress, and anxiety. Start lightening your load. Go back to the still waters. Empty it all out. It's important every morning that you start the day off in peace, not stressed, hurried, rushing around like there's no tomorrow. Look at the sunrise. Wonder at its beauty. Listen to the birds singing. Breathe in God's goodness. Thank him for the blessings in your life. Hebrews talks about entering into the rest of God. That means you have problems, but you're not losing sleep over it. Know that God is still in control. The main way that we show God that we trust him is by staying in peace. Not up when the circumstances are up, down when they're down. You need stability and consistency. You need to be in the rest of God. Joel tells a story that in 2002, while living in Houston, Texas, the city council members voted for them to have a huge abandoned stadium facility. It was a 2-year battle. They worked hard to convince all the council members that this was a good idea. And God caused everything to fall into place. The vote was on a Wednesday morning. And that evening, they had a great celebration at the church. The next morning, he took his wife, Victoria, and their two children out of town for a few days off. They were on cloud nine. They just couldn't believe that it had finally happened. When they got to the hotel and they were unpacking their bags, Joel's brother-in-law, Kevin, called. He was their administrator. And he said, a large company just filed a federal lawsuit to try and keep us from going into the stadium center. They said, we violated the deed restrictions. And Joel asked him what that meant, and he said, we cannot move into the new property because it'll be tied up in the legal system, and it could be there for 10 years, and there's no guarantee that we'll even win when it's over. While he was on the phone, Victoria's wife had overheard the conversation. She stopped unpacking and said with concern in her voice, what are you going to do, Joel? He said, I'm going to go down to the beach. What are you going to do there? I'm going to swim. Well, aren't you worried? Aren't you stressed? Aren't you upset? No, he said. We have done all that we can do. It is in God's hands, and he was not going to worry about it anymore. He said, I've learned my lesson. I'm not going to put up another worry tree. I will stay in rest. I will stay at peace and let God fight my battles. He now ministers out of that stadium. Are you losing sleep over something in your life or something you can't do anything about? As long as you are honoring God, being your best, and I didn't say perfect, I said being your best, you can be at rest. You may be facing an illness. You can't make yourself well. Do what you can. Use common sense. But at some point, you have to turn it over to God and say, Lord, I trust you to bring the healing. But in the meantime, enjoy your life. Worry and stress doesn't help you to heal. Studies have shown that it weakens the immune system. Go back to a place of peace. Maybe you have people in your life that are making poor decisions. You cannot make people do the right thing. Don't let their poor choices sour your life. You have to protect your inner peace. Don't go the next 20 years worried about someone else's problem. Turn them over to God. Get off the throne, so to speak. Stay at rest, and God will get on the throne and do what you cannot do. In his own way, in his own time, he will make things happen. But really, if God is not changing things yet, what makes us think we can change them in our own strength? Yeah, sure, we should be good examples. We should pray, do what we can. But what I'm saying is we shouldn't live stressed out over someone else's problems. You have a destiny to fulfill. You need all your energy, your creativity, your wisdom to become all that God has created you to be. Are you trying to change things that only God can change? Your load will get a whole lot lighter if you turn it over to God and enter into rest. In Acts chapter 12, King Herod had Peter arrested and put into prison. He didn't like the fact that he was a follower of Christ. Peter was in the dungeon chained between two soldiers. The next day, he was going to be brought to trial. And Herod had already killed James, so it looked pretty bad for Peter at this point. You can imagine what Peter must have been thinking. But that night, an angel appeared in the prison. He went to wake Peter up, and Peter was sleeping so soundly, the scripture says, the angel had to shake Peter to awaken him. Now, if you knew the next day that your life would come to an end, that you were in grave danger, would you be sleeping soundly? Would you really be sleeping at all? No. You would be pacing the floor, stressed out, asking God, please don't let them kill me. God, please help me. It's good to pray. It's good to ask God for help. But at some point, we all have to do like Peter and say, God, I have honored you. I prayed. I believed. I've done my best. Now, God, I'm going to rest. I'm not going to worry about that medical report. Not going to live stressed out over the situation at work. I'm not going to be upset when I don't see anything happening. God, I trust you. If Peter would have been stressed out, worried, maybe the angel would not have showed up. Maybe he wouldn't have been freed. But when God saw him resting, God said, all right, let me go to work. I wonder if you would see situations turn around if you simply came back to a place of peace. Worry doesn't make anything better. Being frustrated doesn't get God's attention. Begging God, reminding him of what's wrong, that only makes us depressed. Take the problem off the throne and put God back on the throne. If you're talking more about your problem all the time than you are about God, you have the wrong thing on the throne. I saw a saying the other day, thought it was interesting. Dear problem, my God is much bigger than you. But even in prayer, instead of praying in faith, sometimes we complain about what we don't like. God, these people at work, they get on my nerves. They bother me. You better do something quick. God, my back's been hurting me for 6 years. Those prices are too high. God, I need your help. Instead of begging God, instead of reminding him of everything that's wrong, try a different approach. Do like Peter. Go to sleep. Enter into his rest. Sometimes when I pray, I say, God, you already know what I need. You already know what I want. You know all about me. So, Lord, I'm just going to tell you that I love you, I trust you, and I thank you for getting me to where I'm supposed to be today. Not begging God, but praying from a place of rest and talking to him from a place of peace. Our actions speak much louder than our words. When you can sleep soundly like Peter in a time of great trial or tribulation, you're showing God that you trust him. You're saying, God, I know you're bigger than this problem. You said you would never sleep, so I'm going to go to sleep even though things are not perfect in my life. I will relax knowing you're on the throne and that you're fighting my battles. It's a very freeing way to live. My message for you today, this morning, is to go to sleep. Enter into his rest. Quit worrying about everything, trying to figure everything out. Turn it over to God. Go to sleep. I already see a couple of you taking that advice. Jesus said, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. You know, sheep are very calm and peaceful animals. They don't get upset. I've never seen a sheep having a nervous breakdown. I've never seen it pace the fields, stressed out. They're always at peace. Last summer, Joel and Victoria went to Colorado to ride their four-wheelers, and while in the mountains, they came around a corner and saw about 300 sheep in their way. Unable to get them to move, they thought they would put the four-wheelers into neutral, rev up the engines, and they would go away. So that's exactly what they did. And the sheep just stood there looking at them as much as to say, really, dude? That's all you got? Sheep are basically defenseless animals. They can't run fast. They can't really kick. They rely on the shepherd to take care of them. The shepherd keeps them from danger. The shepherd protects them from wild animals. The shepherd shows them where to go. They don't worry. They know as long as they are with the shepherd, everything will be all right. We can take a lesson from the sheep. Stay in peace. The good shepherd is watching over you. The God that knew you before you were born, the God that breathed life into you, he's guiding your life if you let him. He's protecting you. Yes, there will be some wolves in your path, some attacks, things that we don't understand, but don't fall apart. Don't start complaining. Stay in peace. You don't have to worry or get all worked up. The good shepherd will fight your battles. He will lead you into the green pastures. He will restore your soul. You may go through some valleys, difficult seasons. You don't have to fear any evil, for the Lord your God, the good shepherd, is right there with you. Sometimes we don't see God work in our lives because we're not acting like sheep. We're worried, living stressed out, trying to change but we can't change. Why don't you come back to a place of peace? Come back to the still waters. You've worried about those problems long enough. Let your mind take a break. Some people never let their mind rest. They take vacations for their body, but their mind is still worried. Worried on the beaches like they were at home. In the scriptures, when God told Ananias to go pray for Saul, Ananias didn't want to go. Saul was having believers arrested left and right and put into prison. He was the greatest enemy of the church at that time. But on the road to Damascus, when the light shone down brightly, he became blind and a voice boomed out, "Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you?" the voice said. "I am Jesus." At that moment, his life changed. He was a changed man. But Ananias didn't know anything about what had happened on the road to Damascus. He still thought Saul was a huge threat. And he said, "Lord, I've heard many reports, all the harm that he has caused." Ananias was worried. He came up with a lot of reasons why he shouldn't pray for Saul. I'm sure he spent some restless nights thinking, "Did I really hear God right? That's a dangerous man." He didn't realize that he was worried about something that God had already changed. He didn't know that Saul had already changed his heart on the road to Damascus. And when he finally did pray for Saul, he found out that Saul was an ally instead of an enemy. Some things that you're worried about, just like Ananias, you can't see it yet. But God has already changed it. He has already talked to the right people. He has already lined up your healing. He has already lined up the breakthrough. It's just a matter of time before you walk into it. No use losing sleep over that difficult child that's off course anymore. Not being frustrated over the negative medical report or the situation at work. The threat has been canceled. The solution is already en route. Stay in peace like Ananias. You'll come back to what God has already done. Don't let worry rob you like a thief. If a thief came into your house and took your groceries and your clothing and your furniture, it wouldn't take long before you would say, "No more, that's enough." And you would put a stop to it really quickly. That's what we have to do with worry. Don't go another 5 years letting worry rob you of your joy, rob you of your peace. Put your foot down and say, "This is a new day. No more worrying for me. I will guard my mind. I'll come and stay by the still waters. I'm going to live from a place of peace." Remember, when you rest, God goes to work. But when you work, God rests. Whatever is bothering you, whenever you're tempted to worry about, I'm asking you to take it off the throne and put God back on the throne. Make him bigger than your problem. I believe you'll experience a peace that passes all understanding. No matter what happens on the outside, on the inside, you'll be at rest. You'll overcome obstacles. You'll accomplish your dreams and become everything that God has created you to be. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask this morning that you help us to trust you more in ourselves, just a little bit less. Remind us to keep you on the throne. Help us to never lift anything higher than you. You are the Good Shepherd, the Savior, the Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Would the ushers come forward?